When we think of the word refuge, we usually think of a safe, quiet place where you're protected from the onslaughts of the world. And there is that element in the practice. After all, the Buddha encourages people to find a quiet place, a secluded place. Out in the wilderness or an empty building, where you can get away from other people and really focus on your own mind. And get a sense of what your issues are as opposed to what the issues that everybody else shouts at you are. That's one kind of refuge. But there's another kind of refuge as well. And that's the qualities of the mind that enable you to be involved in things and yet not get sucked in by them. Things like patience, determination, resilience. The proper attitude to bring to things. As I said this morning, before you're going to gain anything out of the practice, you have to be willing to give. And so an attitude of giving is an actual refuge. So that when disturbances come and we're facing a weekend of absolute craziness, they're going to be busing in 12 busloads of people. And who knows if all the people are going to make it in the monastery, letting them out at the intersection of the road out there. We're going to have to shuttle them in and then shuttle them out. There's going to be a lot of activity. But if you look at it as an opportunity to practice the perfection of giving, the perfection of patience, and as we chanted just now in that chant, you know, to show respect and welcoming guests, it's actually part of the practice, and an important part as well. That we bring the right attitude to the world, that's really our refuge. If we look at the world as a place where we simply want to get something out of it, we're going to be disappointed because the things the world has to offer, material gain, material loss, status, loss of status, praise, criticism, pleasures and pains. There's nothing really lasting there. Nothing that can give you any real satisfaction. The satisfaction comes from the qualities of the mind you develop. And they're not all developed in quiet, secluded places. Some really important qualities are developed when you're surrounded by people, surrounded by activity, and yet you're able to maintain an inner sense of stability. An important part of that stability is the willingness to give. Because you're not sucking in, hoping that something good is going to come sucking in, like those fish that simply suck in water and hope that little plankton or whatever else is going to come in. You're giving. You're giving your energy, you're giving your attention. You're trying to give your calmness. Now, some people may pick up on it, others may not, but as long as you're generating calmness, you've got your refuge. And everything bad comes your way, it's going to stop because you've got this generosity flowing out. You've got your patience flowing out. So you're not sucking in all the bad energies and bad attitudes of the people around you. You're trying to radiate something good. Of course, to radiate something good, you've got to have something good inside to radiate. That's why we work on developing a sense of well-being with the breath. And the qualities of mindfulness, alertness, concentration, discernment that go with staying with the breath. The ease and well-being that come when you get a sense of being at home with the breath. Understanding the way the breath energy flows in the body, and using the breath to protect yourself. The Buddha has an analogy of mindfulness filling the body, breath energy filling the body. He says it's like a solid door made out of hardwood. If someone were to throw a ball of string against it, the string wouldn't go into the door. It would just bounce right off. Which is different from a lump of clay. You throw a stone into the lump of clay and it just goes plat into the clay. If your mindfulness fills your body, if your breath energy fills the body, you really can repel a lot of negative energies. Again, there's a sense of radiance inside. It may not be a light, but there's a sense of energy that's filling the body, protecting you from unskillful things, unskillful energies coming from outside. If part of the body is left open, you can be pretty sure that you're going to pick up somebody else's energy. And then you have to clean it out. The best thing, of course, is to try to keep this sense of well-being going. Always keep tabs on this as you're dealing with other people, dealing with situations. And seeing this as an opportunity to gain some merit. Merit is a word that you rarely hear of in Western Buddhism, but it's what's kept Buddhism alive over the centuries. Generosity, virtue, and meditation are all forms of merit. Even stream entry is a form of merit, so can't look down on it. What that means is you look at the world as an opportunity to do good, to gain the happiness that comes from doing good. So if unexpected things happen, look at them as an opportunity to make some merit. A lot of people don't like the idea of merit. It sounds grabbing or acquisitive. But it's amazing how happy it can make people and how it can give them the strength and the resilience to put up with difficult situations. So it's not just acquisitive. It comes from an understanding that if you want to be happy, you have to do something good, and doing something good also has to benefit somebody else, not just you. In other words, you see that happiness is not a zero-sum game. It's not a question of somebody else taking what you want or you're taking what somebody else wants. But you find a way of generating happiness where it spreads around. You gain, the other people gain. And it helps with that sense of resilience, the patience, resourcefulness. We're going to have lots of people here, more than we've ever had before. And so there are bound to be things that are going to go wrong. We can expect that the toilets will overflow and that somebody's going to drive off a road and we have to pull the car out of the ditch. Who knows what else might happen? We just learn how to take it in stride. Here's an opportunity to do some good. Here's an opportunity to be helpful. Here's an opportunity to develop some of those virtues that you don't develop when you're sitting here with your eyes closed. John Fuhren tells of the time when John Lee was going to have the celebration for 25 centuries of Buddhism at Wadasukara. They didn't have any; had very few buildings. Mostly it was just grass shacks, grass sheds. It went on for at least 10 days. And as everybody who's been involved in it has said, it always seemed to be ready to spin out of control. And yet the fact that everybody was there to make merit, everybody was there to do good, helped keep it alive, helped keep it going. And you have to learn to live with other people's limits of how good they can be. You may wonder, why is this person doing that? Why is this person doing this? Well, that's how far their goodness goes at the moment. So you learn to make allowances. And you learn to look at your own attitude. John Fuhren once took some people up around the jetty soon after it had been constructed. They were going to go meditate. When they got up there, they found that somebody just left a lot of trash around. And so John Fung had everybody pick up the trash. One of the women complained, "How could anybody do this, put trash around the jetty?" And he said, "Don't criticize them. Look at this as an opportunity for you to do some good. If they hadn't left the trash, you wouldn't get the merit of picking it up." That's the attitude that lies behind merit, and it's not something to look down on. It's something to honor, and it's something to try to develop yourself. When you get this attitude of giving as an essential part of the practice, you find that your meditation goes better as well, because you're here to give to the breath. You're here to give to the present moment. When you give importance to something like this, you're going to see what importance it has. It's only when you give in this way that you can see things that you wouldn't see if you just step back and try to be the dispassionate observer. This is called the discernment that comes from conviction. This is an important part of the practice, because after all, we are stuck here in suffering. And the only way we're going to get out is if we're convinced that there's a way out. It's like being lost in the woods. If you have a sense that you just can't get out, there's no way you can do it, you're going to stay lost. You give up easily at any obstacle. But if you're convinced there is a way out, then you don't take the obstacles as permanent. You see them as challenges. You're trying to figure a way around them. Because if you're convinced that there is a way around them, you're going to find it. But you have to put energy into it. The attitude of being, say, an agnostic Buddha, saying, "Well, I'm just going to hold back and not really believe anything." That's not what the Buddha encouraged. He says, the way out of suffering comes from conviction. There's this description of what's called transcendent dependent core arising. It's the list of the factors in the mind that lead you to release. And they begin with suffering. And from suffering, they go to conviction. There's stress, dis-ease in life. But the way out is to realize that there must be something better than this. There must be a way out. That conviction comes with a sense of confidence. And it's through the confidence that you get resourceful. You take up leads that you otherwise just might leave hanging. See where they go. Unfortunately, we're not blindly following leads through the forest. There are path markers all over the place. If you look for them, you'll find them. There's that image the Buddha gives of the elephant hunter looking for the elephant in the forest. He comes across some elephant footprints. He's looking for a bull elephant because he needs a bull elephant to do the work that's got to be done. He sees some big footprints, but he doesn't automatically go to the conclusion this must be a bull elephant because there are dwarf females with big feet and there are tall female elephants with big feet. But because he's not sure, and it doesn't mean he says, "Well, I'll just give up, I'm going to leave it at being not sure." He says, "Here's something that looks promising." And so he follows the footprints. He sees some scratch marks high in the tree. Well, again, he's not sure that they're the marks of a bull elephant's tusks, because again, those tall females might have tusks as well. But he keeps on going. And this is the important part. He keeps on going. He finally gets to the clearing, and there it is, a big bull elephant. He's got the elephant he needs. He's confirmed in his conviction. The same way in the practice. We see the footprints, we see the scratch marks. The pleasure that comes from doing good, the pleasure that comes from concentration, these are all footprints and scratch marks. And they're not a guarantee that the Buddha really knew what he was talking about when he's talking about nirvana, talking about unbinding, talking about the deathless, a happiness that doesn't depend on conditions. Because it is possible to develop the pleasure in virtue and the pleasure in concentration without having any sense of these things at all. But it's when we see for ourselves that this practice really does lead to an experience of the deathless. That's when our conviction is confirmed. That's when we know for sure the Buddha did know what he was talking about. But notice, we're not going to see it simply by sitting back and refusing to commit ourselves. There's an element of commitment that's needed. You keep following the footprints, otherwise you're not going to know what kind of footprints they are. In practical terms, this translates into a willingness to give. Give of your time, give of your energy, give of your patience. And using your knowledge of meditation to keep the mind in a good mood as it's developing these things. So you have some goodwill to give to people, you have compassion to give to them. And you don't start running dry. But the breath is always coming in, going out, the ease that can come from being with the breath going in, going out, keeps getting replenished if you look after it. And you have the sense of radiating goodness through the breath, through the body, radiating outwards. That means you're not going to be sucking in any negative things from other people. Whatever comes up, you just radiate goodness at it. And you find that that's your refuge. And it's a refuge where everybody benefits. So as we face the events of the coming weekend, keep this in mind. Whatever comes up, just radiate goodness at it. And see what happens.